to the Amish Voice conference call tonight. Chris Beiler leading us in discussion about the end times in Matthew 24. So we look forward to that. So I'll begin with prayer, and then Chris can introduce the topic. Father, thank you for this evening and you having all things under control, that even when things don't work out well for us, we can look to you and to your word and know that we can run to you for refuge and be safe in the shadow of your wings. So guide us tonight to learn how to live this life better and how to prepare for the future, knowing that we don't need to be afraid if we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Chris.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. This is Chris. Some time ago, I said something to Joe about wanting to have a topic on the end times, and he's like, well, why don't you lead it? So anyhow, here I am. I've just really had a burden about the end times and deception. And when I'm talking about the end times tonight, we're not talking about the rapture and how it's going to go like often we do when we start talking about the end times, the prophecies of how it's going and so on. What I want to talk to tonight is deception. With that, I feel led to read Matthew 24, Jesus' own words. And I'm going to start reading in verse 3, Matthew 24. It's quite a bit of scripture here, but I think it's going to cover what we need to talk about tonight. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck on those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as a lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's as far as I've chosen to read there. But we could start tonight Who are the elect? Who are these elect that he's talking about that are going to be deceived? That subject by itself. What I want to do now is switch to Timothy 3:4, where Paul is talking to Timothy. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I'm going to read that in the Amplified. It says, "For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound, wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myth and man-made fiction." So much of that is going on today. And there seems to be so many people wanting the truth and searching the truth. And it seems they get a hold of something and then they're led astray. They listen to these false teachers and their own philosophies, like it says there. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm not going to be here, you know, acting like this is a lecture or something. I just want to talk about this deception that's going on. It also says, "This know also," in chapter 3, Timothy, 2 Timothy, "know this also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So that's my subject tonight.
Do you feel, Chris, that these things are happening now? Do you feel like they're happening more than they were, 50 or 100 years ago?
Well, I just recently had a conversation with someone, and he was saying it seems because the population is more, there's more people, that it seems there's more of that going on now. There was things going on even in the New Testament where Paul was writing to the Corinthians, the things that were going on. But it just seems to me that it's different. It's just more and more of a deception going on. People going their own way, and that's what I think. What do you think, Joel?
Well, I guess Esther and I are reading in the book of Genesis right now, and I think we read chapter 6 on Friday, and it said that the people of in the days of Noah were only evil continually. In other words, they were there was no good about them. It was only evil. Good was completely a thing of the past, and it was continuous. And God came and wiped them off the earth. Had it not been for Noah, who was a righteous man, God probably would have completely, I don't know. I mean, it didn't happen, so there's no need to even guess what he would have done. But now we've come further in life all these thousands of years, and we've finally gotten to 2015. I sometimes think that, and this is me thinking, I'd be really curious whether maybe people would have scripture for this, or maybe it's just, what it is, but the number 7 has always been God's number. We are now into the 6,000 years, am I right? Are we not like 6,000 years that we kind of figure since the beginning?
Well, I understand there's a, I haven't studied it, but I understand that there is a calendar different from ours, okay, that there's still like several hundred years to add up to the 6,000 year, but okay. I'm not sure. I don't want to wait on
it. You know, it could easily be, but I believe with all my heart that I believe there's like a 7,000 year reign, which would bring it up to 7,000 years. And sometimes I look at that and I say it has to be probably, it has to be that we are, finishing out on God's number. But that's just, I don't know, I'm just something I've thought about, and maybe I shouldn't have even brought it up.
Yeah.
So, let me go. I'm going in the bedroom.
Go ahead.
Well, there's also scripture that talks about when Israel becomes a nation, that generation shall not pass lest they see the coming of Christ, and that happened in 1948, I believe, and... a generation, I believe, is considered 70 years, and then there's also verses that say, by reason of strength, possibly, I don't know exactly how it goes, but it says 10 years would be added to that if by reason of strength, so I don't know exactly how the numbers work out, but I believe that would be take us to like 2028 or something. I don't know. Granted, no man knows the day or the hour, but we can know the season, and to me it looks like we're definitely getting close.
Well, it actually Jesus said there, how we can know by the season. What does it say there one place, if it's red sky at night, sailors take the light, Jesus talked about that we can tell. And then we need to take note of what's going on. Was it just as bad in Noah's time? Jesus says, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And I guess the cry in my heart tonight is... what really stood out to me when I read this is what stands out is concerning these false prophets and false messiahs with their great signs and wonders will be so amazing. They will be capable of deceiving God's chosen ones if such were possible. They're not like everyday signs. There's going to be signs that they're going to do that are going to marvel us. And it's going to deceive so many people. And I guess that's sort of the cry of my heart is of where we're at today, where the church is at and how sin is so prevalent, like men lusting after men, women after women, and we're so being pressed by our society today to accept these things. The great thing right now that we are to accept is coming out of the woodwork is homosexuality and that stuff. I mean, you're looked up to if you admit it, and we're so being almost deceived into believing that's okay, that they're born that way. We hear little boys and girls, they felt like it when they were little, and that's not true. It's a sin that's delivered down. The Bible says the iniquity of the fathers is passed down from generation to generation, and it's sin, and we need to recognize it as that. And there's so much deception going on. So,
yeah, I believe too, Chris. I don't think any one of us doubt that. Compared to, I remember back when I was maybe, 15 years old, I already then at that point began to question how much longer before Jesus comes back. You heard some of the older people talking about it, but even then, it was not like it is today. Today, everybody's talking about it. It's like you feel it in your bones.
Yeah. In our spirit.
Yes, in our spirit. That'd be a better way of saying it. It's like you just know it. It's just you feel it. Again, I will tell you, when it comes to end times, I am probably, I wish I would know a whole lot better, and I probably need to not talk so much tonight and let other people talk, but I think there comes that time when God's people will almost, and I think there's a scripture that you would even kind of back up, kind of like in childbirth, almost like longing, almost like, you know, how much longer does this have to go? Because we're ready. We're just ready to be delivered from this evil world.
Yes.
And I don't know that we're there yet, but I feel that we're getting closer and closer, and that we're really close to that time. It's almost like it's picking up steam. And that's just my two words.
Yeah.
I had an observation. I've made an observation lately. Recently, I was thinking about how if somebody from 40 years ago could see technology today, how they would be blown away at something so small, a cell phone today, could have all the technology that it has on it. You know, you can do just about anything on it, from check your bank statement to trading stock and all this from a simple small phone. My son enjoys airplanes, and he got me thinking about the stealth bomber. You know, when that stealth bomber became known to the ordinary American Joe on the street, was when they were retiring it after using it for over 20 years, I believe. And it kind of makes me think, well, if that kind of technology was being held from the public, what are they holding from the public today? Would we be in awe at how they could, through technology, possibly deceive almost the entire world? You know, I mean, it just makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he says if he didn't shorten the days, what does that mean? I guess that would be kind of an encouragement to me. If he didn't shorten the days or the time, then even the elect would be deceived.
Well, I've heard some people say, and it feels that way, it feels like the days are being literally shortened, doesn't it? But
it does,
you know.
Sometimes, yeah.
Hey, that's a great question. I mean, you know, 24 hours is still 24 hours, but, you know, I heard a man one time preach on end times, and he said there's like seven things that have to happen before Christ returns. And I just remember him saying that one of them is the days will be shortened. And he said, now, let me ask you guys, he said, don't you feel that we're a lot busier, that we're running, that we're constantly, you know, not able to keep up, and we're just constantly running and running? He said, well, he said, the days have shortened. He said, we may still look at it as 24 hours, but he said, really, we're not, 24 hours is not 24 hours anymore. I've never been able to forget that. But I do sometimes wonder, like, man, could there be such a thing as shorter days? And I mean, it's almost crazy to think that way. But
well, my mom just passed away a year ago. And she just loved Jesus with all her heart. And she was one that believed that it was literal. She believed what Jesus said there in red. The days are going to be, if the days weren't shortened, and she believed it literal, just like that, that days are being shortened.
Well, there's no time where God is, and God made time so he can adjust to his way of whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Andy Miller here.
Hey, Eddie.
If I could say a word, I'd sure like to get back to what Chris said to start with. You know, what we're going across is a lot of the things that are prophesied to being in the end times. But he's talked about the deception. And I think we can find the deception where Jesus talked to the disciples when they come back from healing a lot of people and performing miracles. And they were just elated that they could do this. Something like maybe is going on today in some sense and so forth. And Jesus upbraided them and said, look, don't rejoice over the fact of having healed people. Rather, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And the thing that I see a lot of people out here are very spiritual. But when you get down to where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and say, okay, is your name written down in heaven? Well, I don't know. They go to church. They're religious. They, you know, you just think. And one of the deceptions that's going on is, and this is in a lot of churches, is we are a process in the making. In other words, we're not saved yet, but we're working on it. And God is making us what he wants so that he can save us. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell.
Amen.
The thing that Jesus said was the will of the Father. And I can't name the verses, that it's good if you don't know. Just look it up and you'll find it. But Jesus said that the will of the Father was that you believe in him whom he has sent. We are getting so many things that we say, that's God's will to do this, or this is God's will to do this. There's only one thing that Jesus talks about, and that is to believe in the one he has sent. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And therein is the deception. Therein is the deception. It is knowing is written in heaven. It's a very simple, very, very simple concept, but it's what Jesus said was the most important. And I would ask of everybody that is on this conference call, do you know that your name is written in heaven? And I'll shut up and go from there.
Don't know, find out.
Very good, Andy. Thank you, Andy. That is very good. Let's not be deceived. Let's know. Go ahead.
What Andy was talking about was John 6:28-29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where was that at?
Maybe just a little off the subject, but you will be blessed to hear this. Yesterday, I actually sat and heard an Amish preacher preach, and he said that some people will say, well, we don't know a God, we can be saved. But he just brought it out real clearly that we can know that we're saved through Jesus Christ. So that was pretty incredible to hear that.
Was that in Clark, Missouri?
Yes, it was.
Amen.
It was at my last aunt's funeral.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it was a message that we really rejoiced over.
Yeah, hallelujah. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, someone was starting to say something.
Yeah, that scripture verse that I read earlier, somebody asked where it was. That was John 6:28-29.
Oh, 6:28-29. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So basically what he's saying there in John 6:28-29, you know, we think so often we have to work to do something to earn our way into heaven, but here it says the work of God is to believe.
Amen.
To believe. And then the work is a result of believing. Someone was going to say something. Go ahead.
I had a couple thoughts. You know, I work in a grocery store, and I do quite a bit of witnessing, and there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then later on you'll find out the fruits of their life, and which tells you otherwise. And
tell me who you were. Who's talking?
This is Levi Scott from Chautauqua, Wisconsin.
Oh, yes. Okay. Good. Continue now.
Okay, and I think that's exactly what Chris was referring to. The deception is people think, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, or I was baptized when I was a baby. It's all that deception. They're deceived into believing that they did one thing and now they're good to go. Now they can just live the life the way they want to, and they'll still be able to go to heaven. I think that's a big thing nowadays. You know, a lot of people, like my boss, you know, he says, I went to church, and I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church anymore. And
It's just, I see it all the time. It's really, really hard to reach someone for Christ that way.
I'd like to read a scripture here. It's in 1 John 2:17. This is Joe speaking. I always look at this. Actually, it starts in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And then here's the verse, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were never of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And sometimes I think it just takes time. We may already see red flags. And honestly, when somebody, let's just take for example, somebody gets up and just shoots into a crowd and begins to kill people in 5 minutes, they kill six people. And then you'll hear these people say, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. They were such good people. One story recently was like, he was a farmer. We all knew him. I want to say, no way, absolutely not. There were red flags. There are always red flags, but sometimes you just have to wait. You have to wait. But sooner or later, it will be, as it says here, that they might, that they be made manifest that they were not all of us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I want to read a scripture in Romans 16:17-18. Paul is saying here, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And Andy, that scripture fits in very well with what you were talking about.
Thank you, Joe. I see that so many times. And if I may, at this point, say something that God revealed to me in the last 2 months, 3 months. And I told it to my family, and I think we touched on it on the last conference call. The process of salvation is believing that Jesus is who he says he was. What happens immediately after that belief is the man becomes or the woman becomes convicted of their sin and asks forgiveness of their sins because they see the greatness and the great cost of their salvation. What we are doing today in churches all over the world, and I heard it today on the sermon and I couldn't believe that I heard that man say that. He said, first, you repent of your sins. Let me tell you something, folks. Until you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have not the, what can I say, the Spirit to truly confess and repent of your sin. And that only comes when you know Jesus for who he really is. The rest of it will fall in place. And our churches, first thing they do, they do it everywhere, is they have somebody kneel and pray and ask Jesus to save them. Well, they could have them kneel and pray and ask a golden calf to save them. But see, that's not the golden calf. Jesus is the Savior. There's a lot of Antichrist, but only he is the Savior. We should be preaching Jesus and tell and explain people to where they understand who he is. And then as Jesus asked his disciples, whom do people say that I am? In other words, that's the big question. Who is Jesus? I personally believe that the disciples were never saved until after Jesus was crucified. Oh, they followed him, and they spoke his doctrine and did all of that. But one key that I get is when he come back to this earth as a new being and what we will be someday, and walk through that wall in the upper room and said, okay, Thomas, come here, put your finger in my hand, put your hand in my side. And he says, oh, Lord, I know. And the Bible says right after that, then they believed. Therein is what comes. So many people cannot grasp that the belief is Him and Him alone. There's always little other things people want to add to it. And I'll quit there and open for comments for other people. I've taken too much time.
That's right, Andy. I'm going to continue where you left off here. And they believed, okay? But then later on, when Jesus told them that it's expedient that he goes so the Holy Spirit can come, and he told them in Acts 1 there that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they're going to receive power. And that's when they became powerful in their walk, was when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And then also I had to think of what you were saying there about that's why there's so many false conversions out there, and that's why there's so much deception, because of the false conversions. You know, it's just so much of that out here.
That's
we need
correct.
To be careful. We need to be careful, and that's the whole cry of my heart, is to seek that Holy Spirit that comes in and dwells within you by faith. See, Jesus is the, you know, we have people today, they seek that Holy Spirit. They seek the Holy Spirit. I've said already, if you get on your knees and you start seeking the Holy Spirit, you're gonna get a spirit, but it may not be the Holy One. What we need to do is seek Jesus. Seek Jesus, and He is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And
wow.
If we seek Him and we believe in Him and put our faith in Him, He will give us the Holy Spirit, and it'll
Amen.
Be the truth. Hallelujah. Anyone else?
That's powerful, Chris. That is so powerful because, listen, I think what is going to deceive many people, and what I see probably as the biggest deceiver of our time, is people are running after signs and wonders. It in so many cases it becomes a religion.
Absolutely.
And I we're all human beings. We all struggle with faith. You know, we'd love to have sight. We'd love to be able to feel it, touch it, see it, experience it, rather than have faith. And so many of us go running after those signs and wonders, and that's where I think many of them are going to be deceived. I think we read it tonight. And hear me, I'm not against signs and wonders. I believe there are going to be true signs and wonders. I believe that ever since the beginning of days, there have been...
Jesus said they'll follow us, Joe. Jesus said signs and wonders are going to follow us.
The problem is, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? And well, how does it say it? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? These are signs and wonders that people followed and didn't realize they were not of the right spirit.
Amen.
And I tell you guys, I have all my guards up when I see things happening and people flocking together because that is happening. I don't just blindly walk into something like that and say, it must be of God.
Amen. We must. I've heard said already, and that's something that I have used in my life, is whatever comes into your life, whatever, it must measure up to three things, and that is Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, if whatever you feel that you're being led, is it something that would portray Jesus in you? Is it something that you think Jesus would do? And then the Word, does it match up to the Word? And then the Spirit within you, does the Spirit give you okay to do it? You know, if you can say, yeah, I think Jesus would do it, there's no Word that says against it, but then you have that Spirit within you that you just know you need to back off. And that's that Spirit that so many people don't have.
I had a thought that crossed my mind. This is Levi from Wisconsin speaking. Talking about the signs and wonders, I've often heard people say, well, the Lord led me to do this or to do that, or so-and-so prophesied that. I'm not saying that you can't do that through Christ, but I'm saying the reason I don't believe that is because when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And when he said, "It is finished," that was the end of prophesying, the end of sacrifice, everything. From then on, it was the time of grace. And then on, the scriptures were fulfilled while they had prophesied years and centuries ago of Christ. And all through the ages before Christ was crucified, people were prophesying. But after Christ died on the cross, it was the age of grace. And I believe that's what we're in today. And our Bible has a back cover on it. And I believe that it has been prophesied what the Lord wants to have prophesied. I truly believe that.
So do you not feel that people prophesy today?
Well, I'm not saying yes or no, but I'm saying that is my conviction. I'm not gonna judge anyone. I'm not gonna say he's not prophesying. That's my conviction.
Well, the New Testament talks about prophesying being better than speaking in tongues and some of those things. It's better for the church to have a prophecy and a prophesier than somebody just speaking in tongues. So it sounds like it should happen. But again, it needs to be in and through the Holy Ghost.
Exactly. I'm not putting this out like saying it's okay. Jesus doesn't have the power or isn't able to give the power to prophesy. I'm just saying because he said, because of the scripture, that's my only reference, because of the scriptures.
Levi, I'm a strong believer, and I don't know how much weight you can put on this. I don't think, but it always blessed me. We are living in Acts today. The things that the disciples did in Acts, okay? There were people that were healed by Peter's shadow. Okay, that was after Jesus said it is finished. But there are things that happened by these disciples, the miracles they did, and Jesus himself said, "Greater miracles are they going to do that believe in me?" And we, it's there. I know people that have raised people from the dead. Okay, but the it's not Jesus. The reason those things aren't happening is because we are not fit for those things to happen, because we would run off and have have our own ministry instead of the ministry of Jesus. Okay?
Yeah.
Now I wanna share something yet while I still have time. I wanna share something. This is powerful. When I realize this is powerful. Now listen to what I have to say. In John, the last verse of John, okay, it says that the world could not contain the books that could be written about Jesus. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you write a book, okay, you're going to have someone edit the book, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the Bible says that the world could not contain the books that could be written about Jesus, okay? This Bible is the most edited book in the whole world. Just think. All the books that the world could not contain is put between this cover, these covers, okay? Now, does anyone know what the center verse, if you would take all the verses from front to back in the Bible, does anyone know what the center verse is?
I used to know it. It's in the book of
Psalms. It fits in with what we're talking about tonight. Okay? It just dawned on me. I didn't have this planned, but it just dawned on me. Okay?
I think it's Psalms 118, verse 8.
Exactly. Do you have it? Read it.
I can find it.
Psalms 118, verse 8 is the center of the Bible. Now, don't forget, this is the most edited book in the whole world, okay?
Okay?
And this is not a coincidence that it has this as the center verse Go ahead, read it.
It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. The most edited book in the whole world has that as its center verse. Isn't that amazing? Think of that.
Yes.
Well, I always think that, you know, God, what God wanted in between those two covers made it in. Exactly everything God wanted in there was put in there. And I was trying to find it here, but where does it say that but what he did put in is all we need to know to believe in Christ? Something like that. I probably shouldn't have even brought it up if I don't know where the scripture is, but he wrote these things.
1 John 5:13. Is that 1 John 5:13? These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life.
Yeah. I guess that could possibly go. I was thinking of another one. I was thinking it's in the Gospel of John somewhere. You know, much more could have been written, but this has been written so that you may believe on the name of the Son of God or something like that.
Well, I believe that's in the end of John. Hold on there.
And there are many other things, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And the verse before, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true.
Yeah. So the world couldn't contain the books, John said. Hmm. And this is the most edited book, so we need to take note what it says.
I would kind of like to go back there to Matthew chapter 24. This was brought up by someone, but it says in verse 24, it says, and there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that, now here it is, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, if. See, I read that and I say it's not possible. If it were possible, then even the elect would have been deceived, but God wouldn't allow it to happen. And you know, those who have the Spirit of God living inside of them have a power that is not, let's just look at ourselves. We have a power within us that is not our power. We're kept by the power of God, 1 Peter talks about. This power within us will give us what it takes to walk to the stake and be burned alive.
This power within
us will hold us to the truth all the way to the end. It is a power that doesn't that we cannot manufacture. It is not our own. It is the power of God within us.
Yes, absolutely. Praise God. And, you know,
I'd like to ask
all...
a question. If we have time, I'd like to ask a question about that. I'm not sure
which
verse it is. I don't have a Bible here with me, but it says something about the desolation of abomination of desolation. Can anyone explain that? Or maybe that's not in tonight's topic.
That's getting into Daniel. Do you have anything on that, Joe?
You know, I think it's in, I'm thinking
it was
in
the scripture that we read. You read tonight, but I
was
there.
Matthew 24:15.
24:15. When you therefore see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand.
I feel a whole lot safer letting somebody else answer that. I think it's a great question.
I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It sort of explains it a little bit better. It says, so when you see the appalling sacrilege and abomination that admonishes and makes desolate, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader take notice and ponder and consider and heed this. Yeah, I think Jesus is just warning us of how even Daniel talked about the times that are coming and so on, to take notes.
Well, isn't this during the tribulation? Isn't this talking about when the Antichrist takes the seat in Jerusalem?
You're talking about the entire chapter, Hines?
Well, in verse 29, I read to 27, and then in verse 29, in that same chapter, it says, immediately after the tribulation of these, so it must be the time of the tribulation, must be tribulation of that time. And it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven in great glory.
Well, I'm reading footnotes on a study Bible. This is Jake Kirk, and I have a study Bible that talks about the abomination of desolation. But it says, when the Antichrist sets up an image in the temple during the future tribulation, that's something, I guess, different than what it says, talking about the end times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah. Can you give that verse out again?
That was talking about
the abomination of desolation.
You want me to read that again?
Yeah, I was just wondering, where was that verse at?
Verse 15.
It was in Daniel.
It's in Matthew 24, verse 15, and that's quoted from Daniel 9, verse 27.
Okay, there it is.
Daniel 9, 26 and 27 says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreadations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So,
I'm just looking at it. Go ahead, Paul.
Does anyone have final thoughts about what we talked about tonight about deception? I think we're running out of time here.
Well, if you guys would allow me, I had a 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8, 9, and 10 brought to my attention by my daughter here, and it says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I believe it's I was always told, and I believe that signs and wonders and these signs, and like for example, like tongues, was a sign to the unbelieving Jew. In 1 Corinthians 14, 22, it, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So the tongues was for the unbelievers, and prophecies was for those that believe. But according to 1 Corinthians 13, 8, 9, and 10, all of these things will fail, it says in verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I believe that is referring to the completed Word of God, which was finished at the Isle of Patmos by John. Of course, but that's what I believe. It fits, it makes sense to me, because it's the perfect, completed Word of God at that point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a topic that has divided a lot of Christians. And my personal belief is that God can still use that if he wants to, and he does in areas, particularly in Muslims, areas where they may not have the scriptures as readily, or they may not have scriptures at all. I mean, I've heard testimonies of Muslims who have come to Christ because they've had a certain vision, or they have had, you know, a dream, or you know, they've seen things happen that might fall in the category of signs and wonders. And but you know, I guess I've always struggled with just taking them and completely discarding all of that. I believe God can do whatever he wants to get his word out.
Amen.
I believe one of the things one of the things that were one of the deceptions that I was going to mention, I didn't get a chance to tonight, is that there's people that are saying that you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues. And that's a false teaching. Because I believe if you study that scripture, there is such a thing as a gift of speaking in tongues, a heavenly language, okay? But Paul says, do all speak in tongues? And then he goes on to say, desire, don't forbid it, but desire the more excellent gift, which is charity, love. You know, so I believe, I'm a very strong believer in the tongues, okay? But I have never really experienced the actual gift coming upon me, you know, and I believe there is such a thing. It says don't forbid it, you know, but there's that deception today saying you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues, and that's false. I believe that.
Yeah, I believe the problem is most that practice the tongues, you have the problem of they're not following it according to Scripture, one at a time with an interpreter, and of course, half the time or more than half the time, it's the women speaking in tongues, and they're supposed to be silent in church.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe I've experienced enough, you know, seeing what's going on. I don't have all the answers, but I know that the ones that believe that, they... Well, when they pray over you, they almost teach you to say syllables, you know, just to sort of, so they can have the comfort of knowing or thinking you've received the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power in your life to be overcomers. And so many people I've seen speaking in tongues, it seems they have no power in their life, you know. So don't come to me and tell me that they hear it, just because they speak in tongues. That's
amen.
I mean, I'm pretty adamant about that, because I know brothers that are filled in the Holy Ghost, and they do pray in tongues and they speak in tongues, and it's real. So I know there's something out there, but let's seek the more excellent gift, and that's love.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's like Joe said. You know, didn't Jesus says all the prophets and everything is hung on that one thing, that one commandment, love your neighbor. First it says love God with your whole heart. Then it says love your neighbor as yourself. You know, so glory, hallelujah. I think, Paul?
Yeah, let me give the phone number if anybody wants to listen to this conference call later or tell your friends or family. So to listen to this conference call or any of the other ones, you can dial 641-715-3800. That's 641-715-3800, and then enter PIN number 89752. And if any of you have any questions or comments or topics, or you have something you want to lead, let us know. And just
hey, Paul, can you repeat that PIN number for me, please?
Sure, the phone number is 641-715-3800, and the PIN number is 89752. Yeah, and we talked about being deceived, and David in Psalm 119, verse 104, he talks about how he kept from being deceived. He said, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So David said he knows the Bible, and that's how he can keep from being deceived, and that's the topic for our next conference call, March 1st, the importance of daily time alone with God. So I'd like to hear your experience, how you spend time with God, why it's important, and then the April conference call, we're going to start doing some of our topics from the ABC study that the Plowman's Academy has, and the first one is the Bible. So we'll talk about time with God in March and the Bible in April. And that's a good way to keep from being deceived, is to know what the truth is.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Hey, Paul, I have one thought.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about the truth. The Bible says to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's how we're set free, by just knowing the truth. There's a lot of people are deceived because they don't know the truth. That's why they're full of deception, because they don't know the truth.
Yes, amen. And my sheep will know my voice, Jesus said. Yes, hallelujah. Paul, you opened us in prayer. Why don't you close us in prayer, Paul?
Well, Father, thank you for this discussion based upon your word. Help us to always go to your word for truth and not rely on opinions or traditions or even what our church teaches, but make sure, like the Berean Jews did, make sure that even if the Apostle Paul speaks, that what we hear is what you say. And as Jesus taught, that even religious leaders can be wrong, because if they don't know God, don't know the scriptures or the power of God. So may we go to your word and study it and read it and know it and love it as much as David did and shows in Psalm 119, as much as Jesus taught to search the scriptures, and that we won't be ashamed when we stand before you. May we rightly divide the word of truth and study and learn how powerful your word is as it changes our lives and the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Paul, I want to give my phone number out yet. And sometimes I have people that want to call me and straighten me out in some areas. So the number is 216-469-0322. Again, that was 216-469-0322. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Yep.
Good night.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, and some dark and cold.